Hi there, welcome back to a new season of Everyone is Extraordinary called Walking My Way. I'm Ruby, I'm 22 and I live in London. I graduated from Cambridge last year and I have been working in TV production ever since, but I'm taking time off work to go on a pilgrimage. Not just any pilgrimage, the Camino de Santiago. I will be walking 800 kilometers as a female solo traveler, completely untrained, in fact, with a bit of a hip injury. This journey has been a dream of mine since I was 15 when I read The Pilgrimage by Paulo Coelho. I wouldn't say I'm religious, but I do have some sort of relationship with spirituality, which I'm hoping to explore on this trip. I will be documenting my practical experiences, from blisters to budgets to hiking as an untrained London galley for over a month. I'm an ultralight packer, nothing gets me going more than a nifty weight solution. I cannot imagine anything more exciting than sharing my light packing solutions with you, as lame as that sounds. I will also be documenting the spiritual insights that I gain along the way, leaving no page unturned with regards to my personal life. I'm quite the oversharer after all. I will also be documenting the scenery and historical artifacts of this journey. I love religious history and I can't wait to learn loads on the trip about the millions of pilgrims that came before me. Yes, millions. And finally, I will be documenting the connections that I make along the way, interviewing as many fellow pilgrims as possible, because after all, everyone is extraordinary. This way you can hear for yourself what this epic journey is actually like these days for real people. From highs to lows, revelations to blisters, and everything in between, you will hear it all. I have no idea what it's going to be like and I'm totally unprepared, so come along with me as we discover it together in real time. I hope you enjoy. I'm so excited and a little bit nervous for this journey, and I can't wait to experience immense personal growth and to share it all with you. Buen camino!
Right, sorry, the only place I can be remotely alone is in the bathrooms. I am standing opposite two urinals and I can hear the echoes. I'm very sorry about this quality. I've been walking with these lovely people, Amelia and Mika. We've had such a lovely day walking the Napoleonic route, which is technically, well, it's open, but at the Pilgrim Office they told us not to walk it and to use the winter route because it was dangerous or something. And I was very nervous last night about making the decision whether to take the original Napoleonic route, which is part of the pilgrimage, or to go the winter diversion, which goes through the valleys rather than over the mountains. And I picked the Napoleonic route in the end because this morning the hostel host in Saint-Jean-Pied-de-Port was so sweet and gave me her jumper because I was worried that I would be really cold and weathered. And that just kind of gave me the push to do it. And like, there's been so many beautiful things about today, that there was a little ceremony in the hostel where we listened to Sweet Surrender and
we all had to hold hands and think about the moment where we made the decision to take the Camino. And I realized there's not been a moment for me. It's just been my dream for quite a long time now, and I've never decided that it would happen. I just knew that I needed to do it, and it's kind of like all the stars aligned, and I can't even remember the moment now that I was like, okay, I'm doing this, because it kind of felt like I have been needing to do it for so long.
Right, you're just gonna have to bear with the background hostel noises and people talking and stuff and banging. This is the hostel life. I'm in a monastery right now and there's literally nothing else. It's not a village, it's not a town, so as a result, I can't go anywhere else. Outside it's really windy, that's also noisy. Anyway, the walk itself was beautiful and I'm really proud of myself for pushing and going hard, and I had really set myself up to think that it would be horrific, but actually I really enjoyed it and I only got tired for a few kilometres at the end. But on the walk, on the descent, the last few kilometres into Roncesvalles, we came across a dog. Well, the dog came across us, it kind of ran up to us and sat down and laid down. It was so cute and we were petting it, and the pilgrims behind us caught up. It was a lovely Dutch, well, Flemish mother and her girl who was 12 years old. I cannot believe she was walking the pilgrimage, it was so impressive. And they were like, yeah, this dog has been following us the last 20-ish kilometres. Like, the other pilgrims told me that it's been stuck, that it's been following them the whole way. And that instantly made me think back to the fact that near the start of the walk in the mountains, a red car had pulled up to us and a man had come out and said, "Le chien, le chien." And we were like, "No, we haven't seen a dog. Shame." And yeah, that was just a heartbreaking moment because we were like, fuck, this is a dog that the guy is looking for. He's in France. So over this day walking, you go from France to Spain. He's in France. He's 20 kilometers away. He has no idea that his dog has walked the way and literally done the pilgrimage to the next town. How the hell are we going to find him? And without even going anywhere, without even asking for anything at all, the dog just followed us the whole way to the town. And yeah, my heart was breaking. But anyway, me and the little girl, who was so confident and lovely and just the nicest person ever. If I was 12 and someone was speaking to me not in my mother tongue, I would be so frightened. But she was literally like asking me questions. What a bae. We waited at the monastery while the others went in and sorted out rooms and stuff, and the monastery was saying they couldn't help at all. We couldn't even bring the dog in. So we decided, well, me and the Flemish mother decided that it would be a good idea to tie him up outside for a bit while we just go in and settle down, and then if he's not come by the night, set him free. I mean, that's what the mother told me to do. I was thinking I literally would not be able to let him free in the night. Like, that would just break my heart. Because also we knew that the owner was over in France. Yeah. So I checked in, did my showering, hanging up the clothes, stretching, sorting myself out. And I kept just thinking, fuck the dog, the dog, the dog. And about 2 hours later, I went outside praying that someone had found him, the guy had showed up, but no, the dog was still there lying down, shivering in the freezing cold. It was really, really cold by this point, with the string attached to him that we had tied in by a post, and I literally just broke down, sobbing, thinking, fuck, I've left you here for 2 hours and you've been shivering in the cold, I can't believe I've done this, what am I going to do? And I think the Alberg felt bad for me, one of the volunteers or whatever, he was so sweet. I just ran in like sobbing, being like, there's a dog, there's a dog. And I tried to explain to him, like, between tears, what are we gonna do? And he let me move the dog into the bicycle shed, which is a bit warmer and not as exposed to the elements. And then I found a bowl and put some water in it. And then I got phoning the pilgrim office in France. He couldn't speak English, so Spanish was our mutual language, which is hilarious because I can't speak Spanish. I only have Spanish GCSE ability. Somehow I managed to get across this very complicated, elaborate story about the man in the car at a certain point in the pilgrimage in France, but I can't contact the French authorities because I can't speak French and they'll not speak English. Anyway, yeah, he said he would help, and yeah, I've got no idea what's going to happen, but it's so crazy because I've spent the last 6 hours exposed to the elements in the freezing cold and everything hurts, but I just need to help this little helpless creature. Actually, it's quite a big dog, not gonna lie, and I'm not a dog person at all, but I literally won't be able to rest until it's fine. So yeah, and how can I be like this and not be a vegetarian? That's what I keep thinking as well. So yeah, that's another thing that's going on in my head. It's kind of horrific, not gonna lie. But it's been an amazing day. Before this all happened, I was just incredibly proud to have made it through and been so jolly the whole way through. This is supposed to be the hardest day and I didn't find it that bad. And there was like 1,400 meters ascent. So yeah, I must be fitter than I thought, so that's good. Settling into the pilgrim life, my hip really hurts, but what's new there? I just really hope this dog, its owner is going to find him. I keep thinking about the owner, like, being so sad the whole day, thinking that he's lost his dog, and, like, I would not even be able to deal if... Well, I have lost my cat once for about a day, and it was the worst feeling ever. So, yeah. Anyway, that's in my mind. Hello, so it's the next day. I thought I would just quickly give a little update as to what happened. Basically, all the Albergs do their version of dinner, which will usually be like
one and a half courses, like the fish that I received on my plate. I'll put it on the Everyone is Extraordinary Instagram. It was quite comical, it was very small. And then we had a pasta for a starter. But I was thinking, thank goodness I picked the pasta and not the soup, because that fish was like tiny and there was like two potatoes next to it. But yeah, it's quite a fun way of like chatting to new people. But I was like not in the right headspace at all, because I was honestly so worried about this fucking dog. Yeah, I went straight from the dinner to this mass in the monastery, this church service. And it was very dramatic at the end. The priest made us all come up to the front and huddle together, and then he switched off the lights in the church and illuminated the statue of the Santa Maria. And this is a 13th century church, and I think the Santa Maria was 17th century perhaps, so really, really fucking old. And it was like gold, and the lights were, honestly, she was like mesmerizing. I felt out of body. And I was literally like, this fucking dog, like, praying, please find this dog. Like, let the owner find the dog. And then as I turned around at the end of the service, I saw the lovely hostel volunteer who had helped me put the dog in the bike shed earlier. And he was like, oh, you know, like an hour ago, the owner picked up the dog. It's all good. And I was like, oh my God, the fucking relief, guys. Jesus. It was a very lovely moment, and I know a lot of people will be thinking, Ruby, it's just a dog, but honestly, this thing, I'm now like demented by dogs. So in the next day, I shouldn't be talking about the next day on this episode, because this is about day two, but day three, I've been seeing loads of dogs on the trail, and they've been coming up to me, and I'm like, literally, get away from me, like I can't have something bad happen again. So yeah, who knows, I'm a bit of a dog whisperer, who knows. I also have since met the guy who the dog initially followed from Saint-Jean-Pied-de-Port. So it turns out that this dog is like really, really old, and it's got arthritis and a limp on one of its hind legs, and it literally walked the whole 25 kilometers from Saint-Jean-Pied-de-Port to Roncesvalles. That is insane to me. And he was just following the pilgrims, and the mountains were so windy. It was crazy, difficult terrain, really steep. So, I mean, if this dog can do it, guys, anyone can, you can do it. Honestly, this dog was like really, really elderly and ill, and it trekked 25 kilometers with strangers. It's just remarkable, really. There must be some meaning in that. But it was a crazy first day thing to do, and I'm so proud of myself now. Retrospectively, I can think with a clearer head, because yesterday I really couldn't, because I was so stressed about this dog. But thinking with a clearer head back on yesterday, on day one walking, it was really, really special to dare to choose the more dangerous option or the more hard option. So we had a choice between taking the winter route, which at the pilgrim office they had told us, you have to do this one, you can't do the summer route because it's up in the mountains. The winter route is in the valley, and in the mountains it's dangerous at the moment because it's only just opened after Easter, so literally the day before. And then at the hostel they kind of encouraged us, like, you know, it'll be okay. And I did not have any of the right gear, I was cold. This lovely lady in the morning had given me her jumper to take because I had not packed the right fleece, which was just such an act of kindness and really helped push me to do it. And I met these lovely people, Mikkel and Amelia, who were doing it, and they were so positive and so friendly and were like, you know, if anything goes wrong, we'll stay with you, whatever. And they really, really helped push me to go. And it was the most spectacular hike. And I've never hiked really before, not properly. So every moment without judgment, I was just thinking, oh, can I do this? Can I not do this? Let's see. And I managed to make it, and I didn't even feel that bad. So yeah, I'm really, really, really proud. So another thing, in the monastery, there's these amazing like clothes buckets filled with people who've left their clothes behind, their clothes, and they've all been washed and everything. So I found a bandana in there, which I think is a much more weight appropriate way of having a little scarf that can also work to keep your hair back, because in the windy mountains I really struggled with my fringe getting in the, I mean, I don't have a fringe, but sort of my stray hairs like batting around my face and stuff. And then yeah, also I just randomly found this like insane Levi's long top, so I don't really know what to do with that because it's kind of heavy. I'm not really in accordance with my like packing thing. So I might look into posting stuff in Pamplona, but I'm not really sure. And yeah, the sleeping sack is definitely worth the extra 125 grams. The sleeping sack worked an absolute charm. I know it was 70 euros. I can't believe I spent that in one go, but it's literally 120 or 130 grams and you get in it and it's silk. It's 100% silk. So it's so cozy and it's really warm. Yesterday I was so stressed about being cold, especially because the travel day, the first half of it, I was just freezing, like from getting up at 3 in the morning. I think the sleep deprivation didn't help. And I really felt chilled to the bone and it made me quite anxious about the whole experience. So to have bought the sleeping sock and then also to have been given this massive woolly jumper by the owner of the hostel, oh my gosh, it was just so kind of her. The hostel volunteer Eileen was so nice to me. It filled me up with love and like sort of trust that it will be okay. The first day is a difficulty level 5 out of 5, whereas the rest of the days are 2 or 3 out of 5. So it really sets the good foundations for the future walks to know that you've done way harder before, so you can do anything. And so far my washing schedule is all working really great, like using the leggings and the shorts. So in the end I only packed one pair of leggings and it's turning out to be fine, and everything dries overnight, and then yeah, you pop it back in, get started again. It's so nice packing light. Now I need to get back in the alberg before I get locked out. Shit. Fuck, I hope I'm not locked out. That would be an interesting experience. Let me check. Right, I have made it back into the alberg, so now I'm not gonna die, thank goodness. Lol. I'm gonna go to bed, but love you lots and see you for the next day.